Hi, I'm Edwin.
And I'm Andrew.
Sound the battle cry.
Two men.
15 minutes.
Eternal impact.
Welcome to Text Talk.
For the Lord, gird your armor on, stand firm, everyone. Rest your cause upon.
Happy Friday, Edwin.
Happy Friday, Andrew.
Man, rolling through Revelation 2 this week, aren't we?
We're about to wrap it up. We've been talking about the first four of the seven churches of Asia. Hey, before we go on, though, I do just want to say exciting news.
Yeah, what's that?
This is episode 150 in season 5.
In season 5?
That's a big number. I think that's,
yeah, no,
I think that's a good number.
We need to celebrate those numbers.
150 in season 5. So, we're now talking about this fourth church of the seven churches, the middle one, the point of the spear, if you will, and it's Thyatira, and things are really bad at Thyatira.
Really bad.
Really bad.
And so we're going to read about that, how bad they are.
And we want to refrain
Revelation
from that.
Chapter 2.
We want to refrain
from
that.
And don't do bad things.
Well, hey.
Boom.
Simple messages.
Turn it off.
That's the mic drop moment. Don't be Thyatira. Here we go. I'm going to read beginning in verse 18. And this is the English Standard Version, of course. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her works. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from the Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
So we've got really two groups going on in this church. You've got a group that seems to have fallen under this teaching of a prophetess being labeled Jezebel.
Yeah.
Why would you pick the name Jezebel out of all the names in the Bible to attribute to this woman, you think?
I guess it's possible there's a woman there really named Jezebel, but I don't think so.
I think that's highly unlikely.
I really think it's calling to mind the wife of Ahab, who certainly, I mean, Ahab was wicked, and he was probably going to do evil anyway, but Jezebel influenced him more and more and more. You think about her hand in the execution of Naboth
to get the vineyard,
and you just the idolatry that she brought in and among God's
killing
people.
Killing prophets, persecuting them.
So here's this woman, and she's calling herself a prophetess, and what Jesus is saying, you need to know who she really is.
Yeah.
Whatever her name was, Susie, you know, Jane, I don't know. Here's who she really is. She's really Jezebel, and she is leading people to follow idolatry. She's leading people to commit spiritual adultery and immorality.
I find myself wondering as I read this just how public that teaching was.
Yeah.
In that, as he says he's going to deal with her in verse 22, the casting on a sick bed, the tribulation, he's going to kill the children with death. All right. And so I would take that to mean those people who are following after her teachers' teachings, right, following after her.
But if I can insert real quick, the picture of Jezebel, remember when Jehu calls for the servants up with Jezebel to throw her out the window, and they do.
Yeah.
And then he comes out later and finds that she's been eaten by the dogs. The very next chapter is Jehu slaughtering the 70 sons of Ahab. Now, not all of those sons would have been Jezebel's, obviously. but Jezebel's sons would have been in that.
Yeah.
And so her children. So it's that, it's pulling that picture together. Look, the same thing that happened to her is what's going to happen here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so there will be a complete judgment against that.
Yeah.
But to what end? And this is what I wanted to highlight in verse 23. So that the churches, all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts.
Yeah.
And I will give to each one of you according to your works. And so if these things are being done somewhat covertly,
right,
he sees, he searches the minds and hearts,
yeah,
and he's going to bring a judgment accordingly.
He does know the direction that our heart and mind is going. I might be doing something over here that seems right, but in my heart and mind, I'm still devoted to this other god or bringing in these other gods. And he's saying, I'm going to do this, and it's going to be an example to all the churches. They
right.
will know.
They'll
they
know.
Will see. They will see. You cannot pull the wool over my fiery, flaming eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I see my sight is piercing, and you will be judged for this. Remember, this is how he described himself in this letter. Eyes like a flame of fire,
right,
and feet like burnished bronze. This is the one who is ready to trample and come in judgment because he sees.
And it seems Christians ought to know better. Here is someone suggesting that they are a prophetess, but what are they leading the Christians to do?
You will know them by their fruit.
You will know them by their fruit. That's exactly right. But if someone claims to be a prophet, you know, one of the tests of prophet is their message consistent with previous revelation? I mean, here's the same kind of error as false prophets talked about in Deuteronomy 13.
Yes.
Because if you do what she says, you're going to be committing sexual immorality. Well, that's a sin against the word of God. You know, participating in idolatry and you know, full on eating with the idols and all that. Listening to what she says, there ought to be an understanding. This is false teaching. This is a false prophet.
Well, by the way, this issue of sexual immorality here, and also back in the letter to the church at Pergamum, probably very much is about the sexual immorality in the pagan worship.
Right.
Not just, in my personal life, I'm off committing sexual immorality, though maybe there was some of that as well. But what they're doing is they're bringing in this pagan, immoral kind of worship. And we're going to say, this is how we serve God.
Yeah.
I will say, even in our modern day, there are churches today that are bringing in immorality and acting like it's the real way to serve God.
Okay.
They are compromising with the immoral nature of our communities,
mm-hmm.
compromising with the immoral nature of just false worship, even right. idolatry.
Yeah.
And they're bringing it in and acting as if this is actually okay with the Lord. I've heard stories of churches where they've even had kind of the pagan notion come in of God the Mother.
Oh.
And because of God the Mother, they've even very specifically, some of the sexual immorality, the fertility is a part of it. It's a sad, sad thing. And yet this is the kind of thing that's being rebuked at Pergamum and then Thyatira. I will say, I kind of see it's like if Pergamum was flirting with it, Thyatira has gone wholesale, or at least part of the church
mm-hmm.
has gone wholesale into the adultery and the immorality. In fact, as we've said repeatedly, we've already read to the end, we're read backwards. What's happening here with Jezebel is actually prefiguring what we're going to see with the great prostitute.
Okay.
The great prostitute, Babylon, the enemy city,
mm-hmm.
who is, again, both this prostitute that contrasts with the pure bride and also this enemy city that contrasts with the city of God, the true Jerusalem. What was she? She was a prostitute who was committing immorality with the kings of the earth and even drinking the blood of the saints.
Mm.
And what we have here at Thyatira is, man, they've followed after that. And somehow, whatever they're doing as a church, their compromise, their approach to this actually has them, or part of them, wholesale in that side of things. They are, and God says, Jesus says, I've already given her time to repent.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the first warning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he did to warn Thyatira before this, but it's not the first warning. He said, I've given her time to repent.
Yeah.
And I think that's powerful.
That there's a time to repent, a season to repent.
Yeah.
But if we rebuff that, if we reject that, then all we're going to know is a judgment from the Lord.
Yes. Even having become Jezebel, even having become seduced and following after immorality, even as this part of the bride has become more like the great prostitute than the bride of Jesus, he said, repent. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you time to repent. Mm-hmm. You know what? You can still make it to the wedding feast. I'm not going to hold against you that you did this if you will repent and if you will come back and if you will draw yourself in faithfulness to me. This is actually the way God dealt with Israel and Judah multiple times. When you look in Ezekiel 16, when we look in Hosea, as God had Hosea marry a prostitute to be this object lesson, he points out that he loves his bride. And if she will merely repent of the sins that she has committed, he will take her back. He will love her and be in covenant with her. But that's just amazing to me that this portion of the Thyatira church is presented in these just starkly awful, immoral pictures. And yet he said, I gave her time to repent.
Yeah.
I gave her time. Now she didn't.
No.
And that means judgment's coming.
Yeah.
But she could have.
She could have.
And he's saying to the others, don't follow after this group.
Yeah. Yeah. And I appreciate you make that connection, because there's been a few of these churches we've read about this week where he has counseled them to repent. And so some are getting some first warnings here, and some of them are being told you've had warnings.
Yeah.
However, to say it's not the whole church. In verse 24, you have this break where he's talking to the rest. And what marks off the rest? Well, the rest, they have not known this doctrine. They have not known the depths of Satan or the deep things of Satan. And to them, he's saying, I'm not putting you on any other burden. Keep on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Right. Certainly, they should not be tolerating and allowing Jezebel. This is part of the problem. But maybe we've got folks that are in the congregation that just, they don't have a say, but they're just serving the Lord. This is one of the places where it's really hard for me, because I know my initial reaction is, hey, we got to leave. We cannot be in this place.
Or maybe we need to exercise some church discipline here and cast this woman out of the church.
Well, I certainly think that's supposed to happen. And he does rebuke the fact that they tolerate her, which means they're not supposed to tolerate her. And yet there seems to be some people in the congregation that are still opposed and not following after her. And again, maybe they don't have a say in whether the church tolerates her. He doesn't say to them, you guys need to leave and go start your own church.
He doesn't.
That I'm taken aback by that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not laying anything different on you, because you're not holding to it. You are teaching against it. You are saying she's wrong. Probably what'll end up happening is what we read in John's first letter. And that is, eventually the divide will come.
Mm.
Eventually, if these folks are being faithful to the Lord, there will come a time when the Jezebel and those who are following will no longer tolerate that, and they'll leave. They'll either leave or they'll drive out the people who are saying, we're not following you.
Right.
And what these faithful are supposed to do is continue to be faithful to the Lord, to continue to speak out against whatever it is that Jezebel is teaching, to continue to try to draw folks back away from that. And I think that's exactly where we often need to be, is the voice that says, no, we're not going to follow that. Let's come back, until they finally say, all right, we're driving you away.
Sure.
Or until they leave on their own. That's kind of where I end up on this. I don't think he's saying that in a church where such blatant false teaching and error is going on, that you just sit there and say nothing because at home you're doing what's right.
Mm-hmm.
But they're clothed in white. They are making their stand. The division will come at some point. Jesus is going to come and bring the judgment at some point.
Yeah.
And we recognize that in all of that, no matter what even people in my own congregation are doing, I've got to stay true to the Lord.
And the ones that stay true to the Lord, he calls overcomers. Verse 26, he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. And so you have this reversal then of his people who are suffering in this life, but true to the Lord, and there will be a glory and there will be a victory in the end.
Mm.
Thank you so much for joining us for Text Talk today. We are looking forward to all the emails that we'll be receiving. TextTalk@ChristiansMeetHere.org. TextTalk@ChristiansMeetHere.org. Let's pray. Our great God and Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day. We thank you for your word and for the scriptures. Father, we pray that we would have ears to hear. We want to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Father, that we might take all of these discussions, all of these readings this week, really to heart, and to think about where we are in relationship to you, to think about what the congregation is like, where we're a part, that manifestation of the bride of Christ, where we take part. And we pray, Father, that we are doing what we can to hold fast what you have given us to the end, to overcome, to be faithful unto death. And may that devotion and love and first place and first love of the Lord in our hearts characterize our lives in the local church where we're a part. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for talking about the text with us today. I'm Edwin Crozier, and I'd like to invite you to join the Christians who meet on Livingston Avenue in Lutz, Florida, this Sunday for our Bible classes and worship. You can find out more at ChristiansMeetHere.org. Check out our daily written devotional that goes along with today's episode. You can find a link for it in our show notes. Michael Eldridge sang all four parts of our theme song. You can get more from him at acapeldridge.com. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review Text Talk in your favorite podcast app so others can find it and learn about it more easily. Have a fantastic day.
Steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throne.